If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. And then verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Dear congregation, in a day of small things, when we're under a season of trial, and when we are confronted with obstacles in the way, faith through the ministry of the Holy Spirit can settle the mind. And we've all proved it by experience. When we find that help from the Lord and we're able to focus on Him, that can have a settling effect. It can calm the soul. What Jesus said here to His disciples after seeing the fig tree dried up from the roots, have faith in God. Verse 22. In this little section from verse 20 through to verse 26, Christ gave an exhortation to faith and forgiveness. And I'd like us to consider those two things, time permitting, this morning. Well, let's come directly then to these things. And first of all, consider a faith-exercising man. The exhortation is, have faith in God. And then secondly, a forgiving man. A faith-exercising man, and then secondly, a forgiving man. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now just note again the context. In verse 20 we read, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. You recall on a previous occasion, our Lord had come looking for figs on the fig tree, but there was just leaves. And He pronounced a judgment on that fig tree. Well, here we see that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now we can consider two things here. First of all, the fig tree, as we see in Luke 13 verses 6 and 7, was typical of the Jewish nation then. In your own time, if you read, and you'll see how that fits in to Luke 13 verses 6 and verse 7. There was a big show, there were leaves, but where was the fruit? And here is a hint of that which would come in AD 70. Just a hint. But then particularly here, on these occasions, and this occasion before us, was a demonstration of the power of God. The Lord had spoken. The fig tree was cursed. And we read in verse 20, when they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, he's amazed. He remembers what the Lord has spoken, and he's taken back with the power of God. He thinks of the miraculous power of Christ. Well, Jesus, in light of that, said, have faith in God. And then goes on to say in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The Lord spake, and great power was seen. Our Lord says to the disciples, have faith in God, and if you believe, there will be great power manifested, the power of God. See, they were to focus on God's power. And we're to focus on God's power. He is able and He will perform in accordance to His will. Have faith in God. Believe in the power of God. And exercise faith in prayer. How important that is. There is to be faith exercised. Now, there is not those miraculous gifts present in the church today. However, what our Lord is teaching us here, that the Lord's people need to exercise faith And at certain times, there needs to be that increase of faith. These true disciples, they had faith. They had true faith, but they were to exercise faith. There was to be this strengthening, this increase of faith. Have faith in God. Well, let's just open these words up this morning, particularly now focus on this exhortation of our Lord. Have faith in God. Faith. Our Lord is thinking of true, genuine faith. Now, if you turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, the apostle writes to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And you see there, Paul speaks of the faith of his grandmother. She had come to faith. Faith had been implanted. So also Timothy's mother, Eunice, faith had been put within her heart. And the Apostle Paul believes without doubt. He's persuaded that faith had been put in Timothy's heart. True, genuine faith. Just notice how the Apostle speaks of it. The unfeigned faith. It's sincere, without hypocrisy. Without disguise, it's true, it's sincere, it's saving faith. In Hebrews 10 verse 39 we read, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." There it is, this gift, saving faith, true, genuine faith. Now a man may have mere historic faith, but not true saving faith. One may believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, born at Bethlehem, but they've never looked unto Jesus for salvation. Do you understand that? One may believe, yes, the Bible is true on that. Jesus was born at Bethlehem. A man may even further believe that Jesus went to the cross. Yes, it's in history, it's in the Bible, but yet still not look unto Jesus. One may believe certain truths of the Bible, yet not have faith in God. Have not believed in Jesus to the salvation of their soul. Well, the Lord says here, have faith in God. You who have that genuine faith, saving faith, you exercise faith. You believe in the power of God. You rest in Him. Oh, what a blessing to have saving faith. For through faith one receives Christ, as we considered a few weeks ago. Faith like the hand receives Christ, the unspeakable gift. Oh, what a blessing to have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And to be able to look unto Him, as we read in Hebrews 2. To exercise faith. And to believe the word of God. To believe in the power of God. The Holy Spirit has put this wonderful gift within. What a blessing to have it. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And so we are led to consider how the Holy Spirit puts faith within. It's implanted within. Ordinarily, He uses the preaching of the word. How shall they hear without a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Robert Shaw, speaking on this subject, wrote, "The Spirit usually works by means." How often the preaching of the word is used. The word of God is blessed to many. And we who love the Lord, what a blessing we heard and we believed. Oh, what the Holy Spirit did within our lives and within our hearts. Well, we consider these words here. Have faith in God. The Lord is the principal object of faith. We particularly consider Christ, as Paul made plain to that Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He is received. We're to lean on the Lord. We're to have faith in Him. And we're to believe his word. Now here the Lord is encouraging this exercise of faith. And at this time for us, wherever we are in our lives, but also as a church, as we live in these strange days, how these words are so important to us. Have faith in God. You pray, and in accordance to God's will, it will be done. You believe, thy will be done, and it will be done. In 1 John 5 verse 14 we read, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let me just simply illustrate this at the beginning. You pray for direction. Well, the Lord will direct you through his word. He may keep you waiting, but he will direct. You believe that. Show me thy ways, O Lord, we sing. You believe he will, and he will. You will have the petition that you desired of him. You believe it. Exercise faith. Have faith in God. When you're meditating, when you're thinking about something, and when you're praying, when you're hearing the word, have faith in God. Lord, that is what thou art saying to me. And if we bring this home this morning, what does the Lord say to us now? And you could think of your life and the situation before you. What is the Lord saying? Have faith in God. So do it. Look to him. I will listen, Lord, and I will have faith in thee. When we turn to prayer, oh, it's a blessing, isn't it? When we find faith beginning to arise in our prayer towards the Lord. I begin with myself, sometimes I begin in prayer, and I know it's just words. It's just words. But then sometimes I'm aware, I may not be saying words, but I'm praying, and faith is arising. Psalm 25, verse 1 and 2, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. There's the psalmist. He has that prayerful dependence upon the Lord. He's showing it to the Lord. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. There are two things there. He's showing to the Lord his prayerful dependence. I'm depending. I'm looking to thee in prayer. And I'm trusting thee. Oh, in private prayer, exercise faith. But also in public prayer. As we see in these verses, verse 25, when ye stand praying, in a moment we'll consider forgiving. But there is public prayer, in private and in public. Exercise faith. Have faith in God. Be in awe of God. Standing is a prayer posture, so is kneeling. And other prayer postures, when we think particularly of standing as we see here, it speaks of this showing of awe unto God. When it's performed in the right spirit, it shows great reverence. Well, when we're in awe of God, exercise faith. Oh, to have faith in God. Believe God is able. Have faith in God. Exercise faith. Believe God is able. Have faith in God. That's what the Lord is saying to you this morning hour, wherever you are, whatever situation is before you, have faith in God. Listen to him. You recall the account of George Muller. In his life, he was crossing the Atlantic in 1877, and the ship he was on went into thick fog. Where George Muller explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon. The captain, we're not going to get there. But George Muller believed that he would. And so George Muller asked the captain if he could use the chart room to pray for the fog to lift. The captain followed him into the room, claiming that prayer would be a waste of time, no point. But George Muller prayed. And then the captain decided to pray afterwards. Well, as the captain was praying, George Miller stopped him and said, "The prayer has already been answered." The captain was a little disbelieving and mocking, but they went upstairs and the fog had been lifted. And we're told that the captain not long after became a Christian. The Holy Spirit put faith in his heart. You see there, George Miller, he believed that he should be where God would have him the following afternoon. He believed the fog would go, and so he prayed. And he believed that God would answer his prayer in accordance to his will. Have faith in God. Firstly, in the battles you face, have faith in God. Every day we're in a battle. We're in a battle, first of all, with the devil. He's that roaring lion. Sometimes he keeps a little quieter and he gives us a little respite. But on other occasions he comes and he fires so many. We're in a battle. We're in a battle with ungodly men. But then thirdly, we're in a battle with sin within, or we should, or we ought to be. Have faith in God. Believe that the Lord will help you. Help you in the battle with Satan. Help you when you are in the midst of unconverted people. And help you in the battle you have with sin. When did you last believe that God would help you to mortify the deeds of the flesh in the battle you have with sin? You remember David. In view of Goliath, whilst he was speaking to Saul, said this: "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Saul recognized that David, though he was young, was focused on the Lord. How David was a brave man. What do we read in verse 35? Speaking of the lion, "I caught him by his beard." I'm not sure I could have done that. I don't know you young ones here. I'm not sure if you would have done that. Very brave. But also we have to say, he was a man, a young man of faith. There was a battle. There was an enemy. Is there someone causing you difficulty? Troubling you maybe in the college, the school, or the workplace, or the community? Have faith in God. I remember, and I've told you this before, there was a certain gentleman who used to mock me, used to laugh at me. Before I left that firm, I met him one day, and he picked out a New Testament from his trouser pocket. And he said to me, "I read it every day now, and I'm looking to the Lord." He mocked me, he laughed at me. You may have someone who laughs at you, mocks you. Have faith in God. The Lord will protect you. And who knows? That one that mocks you may yet one day be coming to church with you to praise the Lord. Well, in the battle, have faith in God. Secondly, in trial, some fiery trial, some difficulty you're facing, some perplexity, have faith in God. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They trusted the Lord. Even though they were going to be cast into the fiery furnace for disobeying. In Daniel 3, verse 16, we read, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Admire their faith. They believed either way that God would be glorified. They had faith in God. The particular trial that may have come down upon you at the present time, you may be weary. Jesus says to you this morning, have faith in God. You may be fearful this morning of some situation on the horizon. The Lord says, have faith in God. Can you remember right at the beginning of lockdown, 4 months ago, we turned to those words in Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Lord says to us this morning, have faith in God. We respond, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm going to listen. Are you listening to Jesus? You may have been thinking about a present situation. It's going over through your mind. It often does at times, doesn't it? Jesus says this morning, have faith in God. And then thirdly, we thought of the enemy, a trial. But let's consider thirdly, a hurdle in your way. Remember the Red Sea. We have the Red Sea experiences. We're hemmed in. What did Moses say to the people? Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Exodus 14, verse 13. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Going back to George Miller. The fog has lifted. He believed God would make the fog disperse and they would be able to go on their way to Canada. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what the Lord is saying to us. He's going to help us. There will be sufficient grace, supporting grace, delivering grace. It's coming. Stand still. Have faith in God. Stand still and by faith see the salvation of the Lord. There's a hurdle, young people. I don't really want to speak at the end of the summer holidays this morning, but let me just address you. You may have a new college to go to. A new setting, sixth form, a new school. Maybe hurdles for you. Have faith in God. By my God assisting me, I overleap a wall. Psalm 18, verse 29. A number of years ago, there was a church outing. Totten went on a church outing to Hainsby Head. And I was always petrified of dogs when I was young. And there was this dog, and it began to chase me and my friend Tim along the beach. And there was this little stone wall. And the only way was to go up over the stone wall. It looked quite high to me, but I went up and I escaped. There was a hurdle, but I went over it. Maybe a hurdle for you young people. Children, have faith in God. Now, before we move on, just turn with me to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Call unto me, I will answer, have faith, I will show thee great and mighty things. What did our Lord say in verse 23? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Believe, call on me, and I will answer. He will in accordance to his will. There may be a mountain, a hurdle in front of you. One day you'll be past it. Have faith in God. The invitation comes in Jeremiah. Call unto me and I will answer thee. You call, I will answer. You have faith. Where are you today? You know and the Lord knows. What does Jesus say to you? Whatever is on the horizon for you and whatever is on the horizon for me, he simply says, have faith in God. Well, as we draw to a close, let's consider the second point, a forgiving man. A forgiving man. Come with me to verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Forgive. We thought of a faith exercising man. Let that faith exercising man be a forgiving man. Forgive. Now we live in a world in which others will injure us. People will hurt us. People will say unkind things towards us. We meet people, and sadly, the church isn't immune to it either. People can injure us. There's to be a spirit of forgiveness, even when there is no open apology, and thus open forgiveness. But let's remember, people will injure us. Well, the Lord says, when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, God forgiving sins committed against him is very different to us forgiving others who injure us. No pope, no priest, no man can forgive sin in the way that God does. No pope, no priest, no man can act in the place of God and deliver one from condemnation or fatherly chastisement. We make that plain. No sinner can remove the guilt of sin in the sight of God or free one from the obligation to punishment. It is God's sole prerogative to forgive sin in that way. God alone. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. And then you remember those words in Mark 2 verse 7. Who can forgive sins but God only? God alone can forgive in the way that he does. No one else. However, let's not forget the exhortation to forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. That's interesting, isn't it? Think again of the prayer posture in public. And when it's done in a right way, one is in awe of God. And they're listening to God. And therefore they're ready to obey and to forgive. Have faith in God. Verse 22, verse 25, forgive. Now we are to forgive only as it has injured us. We can be spoken against, gossiped about, injured in many ways. Our Lord exhorts us to forgive. We're encouraged to do so. We think of the word forgive from the Hebrew, rather from the Greek, it can be translated as to send away. Not the person, but certain things. In forgiving, firstly, we can say we're exercising love. Secondly, we lay aside any anger. Thirdly, any resentment. Fourthly, any grudge. Fifthly, any bitterness that may come to mind. In doing so, we show kindness. Now that may not mean an open apology has come yet, or we have openly forgiven in light of Matthew 18. But all to do with our hearts, the exercise of love, the putting aside of anger, resentment, grudge, or bitterness. It's showing kindness when we're praying as we think of others. Ephesians 4 verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Think of the parent. They will forgive the child before the child comes and says sorry. Else, they would not have that spirit of forgiveness. Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, our forgiving of injuries. We forgive injuries. James Fisher writes, to wish and to do all offices of kindness that lie in our power. The brethren were to put it behind and to seek to show kindness as we think of the other person. That doesn't mean to say that church discipline is ignored and we don't follow what our Lord says to go and rebuke. No. But if we're to go and rebuke, and if church discipline is to be administered in the right way, there must be forgiveness in the heart. That there is a forgiving heart. There is to be kindness in the heart. How we need God's help. Because we battle with sin. Bitterness can quickly arise. How we need God's help in this. And let us remember, as we see in Proverbs 19, it is honourable. Proverbs 19 verse 11, a discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's comely, it's the right thing to do. Now one will be patient, one will be tested, and our patience will be tested. And we may have to suffer long, and it may be very hard. That person continually is unkind to us. Yes. If it continued, there'd be church discipline. You know, there's some people who say, well, I love that person, so there's no church discipline. That's not love. That's not love at all. Would you allow a child just to go on without discipline or rebuke? No. That's not love, is it? No. Some people twist the doctrine. No. There is to be church discipline where there is the need. There's to be rebuke. The Lord teaches those things. There's to be love. It may be very hard, but we have to have that spirit of forgiveness. After the war in 1947, Corrie ten Boom was giving a talk. And as she was speaking, she noticed a certain man. He was boarding and he was in a grey overcoat. It was the Nazi oppressor that had caused her trouble. She couldn't extend forgiveness to this man. In her heart, she's speaking. There she saw him. He made himself known to her later. Please, if you would, I would like to hear from your lips too that God has forgiven me. And this is Corrie ten Boom's response. I stood there. I, whose sins had again and again been forgiven, could not forgive. It could not have been many seconds till he stood there, held out his hand, but it seemed to me hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started on my shoulder, ran down my arm, and sprang into the joined hands. And this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to mine eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. She couldn't to begin with. And you know, you may have been there at times. I just can't forgive that person. Yes, they haven't apologized, and I'm not going to, in light of Matthew 18, openly forgive, because that would be wrong. But I've got to forgive them in my heart. And I struggle. Oh, for help. I never forget the example of the Reverend Morris Roberts a number of years ago, and we must draw to a close. He had been caused much trouble in the events leading up to the division in 2000. Well, after that, a particular man who caused him so much trouble attended a meeting. And Morris Roberts, there were hundreds there, he was preaching, and he saw the man. And he focused on that man. And he recounted this to another minister not too far away. And Morris Roberts said, I saw that man who caused me so much trouble. Remember, Morris Roberts lost his home, was spoken against. He saw that man, and before the Lord, I forgive him. What an example. Yes, the man didn't come and say sorry, and so there was no open forgiveness. But in his heart, Morris Roberts forgave him. Or what does the Lord say here? Forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Well, as we think of this, how we need to exercise faith. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't do that, would we? We need to focus on the Lord, who says, have faith in God. Well, may the Lord help us to forgive and to have faith. Have faith in God. Whatever your situation, whatever's before you, have faith in God. May the Lord give us the strength to obey and the blessing to know. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we think of these things, they're familiar. But Lord, we need help. We need help to forgive in our hearts. And we need help to have faith. Oh, Lord, help us in these things. Oh, we have heard the voice of Jesus. Have faith in God. It is our prayer that thou would help us, whatever the situation is before us, to have faith in thee. Lord, we do believe. We feel at times our faith is small, but we do believe. Oh, Lord, answer our prayer. Help us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. We turn to our final praise. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 7. The tune is Dennis. We're going to hear these words sung. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 7. To thee I lift my soul. O Lord, I trust in thee.